Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:12 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 16th. Today's been a relatively mixed day. China started out early this morning. It was down a couple of percent. That was at least in part motivated by concern about earnings projections being missed. Some of the markets that were mo are most closely tied to the Chinese economy pulled back in sympathy. So Korea, Taiwan were both down in a dynamic fashion. The Indian market extended its decline and finished a little bit off its low, but it really does need to give us some signal that demand is beginning to return there. The rest of Asia was relatively positive. Indonesia was relatively unchanged. Thailand, which has put in another positive performance. The Philippines was also relatively steady, so was Malaysia. Those represent some of the markets that were the best absolute and relative performers prior to the pullback that began back in July, and they have subsequently had some of the bigger advances. Two other markets that are worthy of mention are South Africa and Mexico. They both have rallied really rather emphatically, and South Africa in particular has rallied right back up to test the July or June peak. Now that's being aided by the weaker South African rand, and the rand continues to weaken against the US dollar. By contrast, the Nasdaq has rallied right back up to touch its peak, or at least test it, and that has been on the back of a strong dollar. In Europe today, the majority of markets finished up less than 1%. The DAX and the FTSE 100 were both in negative territory, but both by less than about a third of 1%. So it was a relatively steady day in stock markets in Europe generally. Into the close on Wall Street, the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq are all finishing down in excess of 1.5%. The same with Mexico. The Canadian index is down less than half of 1%. Brazil is up about half of 1%. One of the main news stories today was the fact that Enbridge and Enterprise Partners are reversing their pipeline from Cushing down to the refineries on the Gulf Coast. That is going to relieve the supply overhang that has been there in the Oklahoma terminal. West Texas Intermediate rallied today by over $2. At one point, it was over $3. That means that U.S. crude has rallied by $25 in the last 6 weeks. That's an impressive move by any standard. It's broken the progression of lower rally highs, and although overbought in the very short term, this has been really quite an impressive performance. It also means that the spread relative to Brent crude is contracted rather violently. Brent crude was weaker in here today. It does suggest that those people that were short WTI and long Brent are being squeezed in here, or they're closing out their positions at a minimum. And that spread, which was as high as $30, has compressed to a bit less than $10. That is probably back to a reasonable level, given that Libyan production is improving, but it hasn't come right back on stream just yet. Gold prices today were weaker by about $20. They are about $8 off their low. They're a little bit overbought in the very short term. Given the fact that we saw gold pull back from $1,900 to $1,550, it's had a very good bounce. It's been ranging under this $1,800 level for a while. It probably needs to spend some time unwinding its short-term overbought condition and building support above the 200-day moving average. Within the context of the medium-term uptrend, particularly the most consistent part of it over the last 3 years, this can still be characterized as a relatively normal correction within the context of a major bull market. The industrial metals were generally a bit more positive in here today, although copper was a little bit weaker. Platinum and palladium, silver were all weaker in here today. They have also had a good rally over the last month. They are a bit overbought in the very short term and have been particularly platinum and palladium, have been pulling back. Platinum and palladium share a relatively similar pattern with a number of stock markets, and that is that particularly shares in the industrial sector and in the energy sector, a large number of European markets pulled back very sharply in July. They've had a very good bounce in October. They've unwound their oversold conditions relative to their 200-day moving averages. That is a condition that's evident on a number of European stock markets, a number of industrial shares, a number of industrial metals, a number of commodities, a number of Asian markets. It's a very widely spread condition. It also means that we're at a point where people are beginning to ask, will it or won't it? Will these markets be able to push back above their 200-day moving averages? Will they be able to reassert their medium-term uptrends? We're going to find out in the next couple of weeks. At a minimum, we're seeing that some of these markets are encountering at least short-term resistance in the region of their 200-day moving averages. They will need to find support above their early October lows if the medium-term uptrend or the short-term uptrend is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. And until they do find support above the October low, then that is going to remain very much an open question. And with oil pushing back up here now, we have Brent crude at 110 and change, and we have the West Texas Intermediate back above $100 again. That is a headwind to economic growth. That's going to get people worried once more when you've got West Texas back above $100. And Brent crude hasn't dropped below the $100 level at all. It's been above $100 for considerably longer on this occasion than it ever was back in 2008. Now, US Treasuries were a bit stronger in here today. They were stronger by almost a full point. Eurobonds were weaker by about half a point. Gilts were also a tad weaker in here. US Treasuries, if one had to look at that chart in a very objective fashion, which is, I suppose, what we should always be attempting to do, then it's more likely to go up than to go down. It would really need a strong downward dynamic to indicate that supply is returning to dominance in here. And since that is the case, then the potential for stock markets to pull back that little bit further and test the short to medium term bullish hypothesis remains very much in place. People continue to talk about the European crisis. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. Bond vigilantes are probing for weakness in the various government bond markets. However, when you start to see that the spreads for Austrian, Dutch, and Finnish debt are starting to expand rapidly relative to German bunds, one does have to ask questions about rationality. One can probably have a pretty rational conversation as to why Italian bond yields should be where they are today. It might not be convenient for the Italians. The Italians have a very good economy generally, but they also have a high amount of debt. So we could have a good conversation about that. But when you look at Austria or you look at the Netherlands, these are countries with very similar situations to Germany. They might be smaller economies, but they have very similar situations to Germany. Prior to the convergence to join the euro, they actually traded richer than Germany. So they traded at a spread below bunds, not above bunds. And with those spreads starting to widen out, one really does have to ask the question as to exactly what is the reason for that. People are taking pot shots at this market rather than looking at it from a particularly rational perspective. That would suggest that we're coming to an endpoint. There is going to have to be some major moves on behalf of the European institutions to resolve this crisis. They have lost control of expectations. They've been dithering for long enough. Now they need some concrete action, they need convincing action, and they need a lot of money thrown at this problem. And the only way that's going to happen is if the ECB engages in money printing and they leverage up the size of various bailout deals really quite considerably. It would seem to be only a matter of time before that happens. That is likely to be really quite positive for the wider market. That is really a short-term concern. If we take a step back and we look at markets that are leading in this type of scenario, and there are a considerable number of major markets that, major sectors, I should say, that are pushing on not only up to new recovery highs, but to new all-time highs. They are almost universally leveraged to the growth of the global consumer. And that is the theme of the next decade. It's the greatest urbanization in history. We're getting literally billions of people moving from the country to the city. And their per capita consumption of just about everything is going up. Their ability to pay for those modern conveniences is also improving. Their per capita consumption of calories is also improving. That's helping to drive major bull markets in any sector that's leveraged to the growth of their needs and wants. The rest of the market, which is leveraged to growth in Europe or growth in the USA or in the UK and Japan, are having a much more difficult time of it. It's going to take time for them to recover. The short-term concerns about the Eurozone is also a damper on investor confidence in the ability of the financial markets to provide them with an income. So they are migrating towards some of those perceived safe havens, such as the US Treasury. When we look at the ratio of the Merrill Lynch Total Return Index for the 10-year plus US Treasury compared to gold, gold has been outperforming almost every single year since 2002 on a total return basis. That is an argument alone for holding on to an asset that can't simply have its supply printed into existence relative to US Treasuries. That has also been an environment which has been particularly bullish for US Treasuries, where you have this loss of confidence and governments intervening to push yields down and prices up. Gold has continued to outperform in that environment. That would suggest that if confidence is ever lost in the US Treasury markets, that that ratio is going to expand even more abruptly. That would certainly be the most likely scenario given the trajectory over the last 8 or 9 years. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.